Hey, hey, Podnutians, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 598. This podcast is brought to you by our Patreon supporters who help us out each and every week. This time it is Mike Brem. Thank you very much for your long support, sir. I also want to say thanks, Josh and Ivor, for their long support. How are you doing, Ivor?
Oh, pretty good, mate. It's killing, and we're having a great time. The weather hasn't been cooperating too much lately, but over the weekend I was able to get down to the garden and help my wife construct a new berry shelter. They're trying to keep the birds off our blueberries. Planks of wood and bits of bird. Yeah, that was a bit of fun. Yourself?
Very cool. I mean, I'll put it like this. Staying busy. I've now have officially less than 3 years left with my 9-to-5 job before I can just run out of the building butt naked and scream, I'm free!
Final countdown.
Kind of, yeah.
On your last day?
Well, I don't know, but I did tell somebody today when they asked me for something, I said, look, the issue isn't can I help you? The question is, what are you going to do when it breaks? Because I only have 35 months... 2 years, 11 months, and 23 days. He just looked at me like, I hate you. But he should. How is everything going?
Huh? Isn't that the way he always looks at you, though?
That guy, yes. You're right. You absolutely nailed it because, you know, I'm a government employee. How is everything going up in can-do Adia, Josh?
Pretty well, Dor. It snowed the other day, which was a quick reminder that winter is coming. And that I need to get my poop together and get ready for winter because there's just things you got to do to get a little bit winterized. And I'm reminding myself of the torment and torture that I was giving Ivor as they were creeping into winter and us into spring. Now I'm feeling it reciprocated.
Boots on the other foot.
Yeah, now the gloves on the other foot. And I'm not really excited about it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. Me, I love the fact that summer is over because now I can actually open my windows and not die from heat stroke. So I'm a fan of this time of year. But yes, very soon it's going to get bitter, like bitter cold.
Well, I think you guys saw the pictures of my amazing job at digging a hole and putting a swimming pool in it and then proceeding to start to build a deck with pallets around it. Yeah, so that is had a moat around it because the water level filled up the hole. And after we went for a month of traveling, we came back and the pool was just green and I think there's frogs in it. Yeah. And so I spent the last 2 or 3 days. Luckily, we bought a 1.5 horsepower shallow well pump. And so I have to pump out the moat and then start pumping out the pool and then put that on hold for the night and went back out and the moat was back to where it was the previous night before I had pumped it out. So I'd do that again. And long story short, we finally got the pool pulled out of what is now our pond. So we have a pond.
I mean, it could be worse.
It could be. I could be buried at the bottom of it, I guess.
True, true. I will ask you guys in Android news, Android development, hardware, has anything caught the attention of you guys?
Wrist phone.
But who makes it?
Lenovo. Yeah, so I'm torn. I want to buy it, but I do want to buy it because it's a wrist phone, but it's a Lenovo wrist phone. So, you know, I keep going back.
I don't know if I bookmarked that one.
It'll be rubbish, but it's a first step. It's a prototype of things to come.
Well, you've sort of been progressing towards buying rubbish products anyway, right? So this should be perfect. Does it have a reverse flip twist camera on it?
Well, that's the next thing. It's going to reverse itself. Have a little flap that comes up. That's not that idea, actually.
Can you wear it on your ankle, too?
Several members of my family already do.
Same here. I'll say this, the hardware stuff that caught my attention was kind of like twofold is what I'm going to say. When it comes to the Android verse, really Qualcomm makes a huge percentage of the processors. We do have Samsung that makes processors. We do have MediaTek. We do have a couple other people that make processors as well. But Qualcomm is the one that makes the big boy processors, in air quotes is what I'll say. And Qualcomm has already announced it is jumping into RISC-V hardware support for Android. This was really, I think, only announced back in January. They said something about it, but it really wasn't announced until, I want to say, Google I.O. And then since Google I.O., we've had a couple of manufacturers go completely crazy on top of their want to make. Qualcomm announces the first ever mass market RISC-V Android system on a chip. So these guys are in air quote, on the ground floor on trying to capitalize on this movement. Now, for the uninitiated, all you have to know is RISC-V isn't Intel. It isn't NVIDIA. It isn't ARM. It isn't any individual company. It's open source technology that was first invented in the mind of a college professor because he wanted a simple way to teach his students how processors worked. And that was how the architecture was dreamt up. Since then, it's become real. And it was really only in the last year or two, it became a physical thing. And then now it's all of a sudden taking off on single board computers and system on a chips and Android announcing official support for it. Now we have Qualcomm announcing official Android system on a chips. I have a scary feeling this is going to take off incredibly quick to where before we know it, we're going to have tons of Android devices running on RISC-V, primarily because I believe it's going to be more, I'm going to use the words carefully, higher optimized to need less power and release less heat. Because of those two things, I think this has a definite possibility of being popular.
You know, if anybody is developing an OS specifically for RISC and maybe just a competitor to Android and Apple?
I mean, not really. Everything I'm reading about RISC-V is just other people making Linux drivers for it and stuff like that. Nothing truly new is the way I'll put it. So to me, this is one of the interesting things that Qualcomm is doing. Then I have a second. Was this the other one? Let me see. I think this was basically the same information, different source, where Qualcomm is announcing, swaps out ARM for RISC-V for next generation Google Wear OS devices. Now, between you and me, RISC-V makes more sense on a device that needs less computing prowess, is the way I'm going to put it. Because we expect our phones to be snappy. We expect our phones to be able to do magic in our hands. With Wear devices, we expect much, much, much less out of them. So I can see a RISC-V-based Android Google Wear device getting a week of battery life versus the less than 2 days battery life with, it seems like, the current Wear devices. So this is where I think RISC-V will actually make a ton of sense, is what I'm going to say. I can't remember the name of the Samsung chips. They do make them. They're basically in every Samsung device outside of the U.S. And yeah, there are like two or three manufacturers in China and Thailand that do use their system on a chip. Yeah. Yeah, the Kirin chip. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. And then I honestly have another Lenovo thing that when I called this, it literally made me stop and ask myself tons of questions, and there is no right answer is what I'm going to literally end up in saying. Lenovo wants to offer an Android-based PC starting with an all-in-one that can pack a Core i9 processor in it. Okay, if anyone complains about Android slowness, if you use it on a Core i9, I'm pretty sure that's going to be resolved. To me, and one of the things is that they believe this is going to have the ability to not only destroy Chrome OS, but it can actually compete with Windows from vendors kind of stuff. To me, the biggest shortcoming with running Android as a desktop, anything, operating system, is the fact that I don't have a full-fledged set of browser plugins like Adblock, uBlock, YouTube, sponsor block. I mean, all these other things that don't exist on mobile browsers, to me, is the biggest reason why I think if I were offered a Android-based PC solution, I still couldn't use it full-time for everything I want to use a normal, to me, full desktop operating system with.
Yeah, I've just put a link in the chat, which will take you through to Android. operating system you can install on your PC today. I've been meaning to give this a go since I saw it in the Discord that we were talking about. I'd totally forgotten about this. I'd seen it ages ago. It was one of my favorites for years. And I ever tried it, you guys?
Yeah, I have. Have a you, Josh?
No, I have not. I don't even know what Android is.
Did you come up with the same?
Oh, no. This is not going to offer you anything outside of the normal Chrome or Firefox enabled browser. So yeah, it's still going to suffer from the same problem. The last time I gave this a really like hardcore attempt, the problem was all Android devices, here's the way I'm going to put this. All Android devices sold today have a certain set of sensors on them. Accelerometer, magnetometer, all those things. You know what I mean? A PC does not offer all of those sensors. So there's certain apps that when you go to load them, just don't work right in Android x86. And this was at least 4 years ago, is what I'm going to say. So, right. So maybe by now they've fixed a lot of things. They've done a lot of things. We can see the last update was April 2022, it looks like. So hopefully they'll, you know, keep moving forward.
Have some spare time. I'm not airy shelters. I'll see what I can do.
Right. Yeah. The old alternative to this was called BlueStacks. And in my humble opinion, it was horrible.
It was an emulator, versus... wasn't it? The x86 is not.
Yes. Well, it's running Linux on the bare, and then it's loading Android on top of it. But I am willing to give it another try, is what I'll say, because I do want more functionality.
Especially if you've got all the power of the processor and the PC behind it. Android's meant to run on pretty slim power in the processor, so.
Yeah, especially if you can get it running on an i9.
Yeah. Just enough for Android.
I hope so.
I have dabbled in what this may be using is the Qemu, Q-E-M-U, which is an emulator for Linux to run Android and other. Have you ever come across that door?
Oh, I've definitely used Qemu in the past. Yes, a bunch of times. And I will say, I know the opposite is very true. Whenever you load an Android device and then you find on the Play Store, run Debian, run Linux, run Linux Mint, it's always using Qemu because that seems to be the most supported, I'll say, emulator on Linux, which can do the most different types of chipset types. So, okay, sorry about that. Brain fried. The other piece of hardware I just wanted to bring up was because Josh keeps asking about different privacy type features. I typically do never talk about things on Kickstarter just because I don't like gambling. You know what I mean? I like my money. I don't like the idea of throwing money away and then not having something come back. This, though, definitely caught my eye, even though, technically speaking, on the PinePhone Pro, I had to say that slowly, there is a physical switch to enable or disable privacy. The difference being the PinePhone Pro runs mainly Linux-based operating systems and then the occasional Linux-based operating system that's literally running Android inside of it kind of thing. This is a dedicated Android device called the Murena 2, M-U-R-E-N-A 2, which has a physical privacy switch on the side of it, and it runs Android. I'll say this is the kind of thing I love the idea of. If I had, you know, extra, like a lot of extra money in the bank, I would have no problem with giving this place money, hoping it comes true. But it's one of those things, I don't know the likelihood of it actually, you know, going through. Because it says the goal was only $26,000 and they raised $172,000.
Yeah, the hardware specs, because usually the hardware on these devices is questionable. But it seems okay. I mean, it's got a 1080p, well, it's got a 4K screen, a 4 megapixel rear camera, charging 18 watts. That's acceptable. How much does it cost?
You have to become a backer.
$499. Canada, that's $679. Australia, $829.
Yeah, but you might get it.
Might actually get it, yeah. $1,000 to throw away.
Well, it's not.
Operating system.
The operating system is running that slash E slash OS I don't know what it's actually called, but it's a European-based, privacy-focused, think of it like the difference between Chromium and Chrome, where Chromium does its best, you know, shaking fist, it does its best to try to take all of the tracking stuff out of Android and give you, or out of Chrome and just give you the base kind of things. EOS, to me, tries to do the same thing. They try to remove every single binary blob and every tracking thing and just give you the base operating system that still should be able to support all the apps except all the apps that insist on having the Google Play services installed.
They've pre-installed its own apps.
You think they'd let me trade in my Obama phone for it?
Like the,
I think it's worth contacting them, yeah.
Yeah, physical switch, the disconnections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the camera? Other one that... just garbage. Well, there's another one that we looked at that had that same thing, a privacy switch.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Pine phone had a privacy switch, and I cannot remember another Android-based device that had one by default, but I'm sure there is. They try to claim they're the first to have it, but I'm pretty sure somebody else.
What's that? What's the phone where you can take it apart?
Fairphone.
Fairphone. Do they have one?
I honestly am not sure. Cannot remember. I know that I'm really happy with Fairphone just because they're still alive. You know what I mean? They like keep on innovating. They keep on revving the new device and they keep putting out devices, which I find amazing. I swore that there wouldn't be enough support. There wouldn't be enough people. There wouldn't be enough money to push this thing forward. But Fairphone keeps finding a way.
Yeah, they've gone through 6 different models now and each one just keeps getting, mm-hmm. you know, like 700,000 people have bought one throughout its life. But that's cool.
I know, but apparently that's enough.
The CIA is good at subsidizing phones, I guess.
Well, you know, speaking of things with their own interest, I'm going to put this link in the chat, too. I want to say it's called SciPed. And what it basically is it's another group of people, in air quote, trying to do their best with RISC-V processors, where they have their Pi 4A, which is like the Raspberry Pi type form factor, the Litchi cluster, which is literally a desktop form factor clustered of Raspberry Pi type computers. But then they have the Litchi Console 4A, which is a laptop. But then the one that caught my eye was the Litchi Pad 4A, which is literally running Android OS on top of a RISC-V platform. So these people are trying to put out at least a tablet form factor running RISC-V with Android on top of it. So, I mean, this is what I'm trying to get through is expect very shortly to have completely different price differentials and having RISC-V processors in them because they don't have to pay the Qualcomm tax. You know what I mean? Like how when you buy an Intel computer, you got to pay the Intel tax. When you buy a Microsoft computer, you got to pay the Microsoft tax. When you buy a Litchi Pad 4A, you don't have to pay the Qualcomm tax. So, you know, this is just one of those things I find really interesting. You can pre-order them now. Again, I don't encourage anybody to pre-order anything unless they do their own research with a company and have absolute trust, or they really love the excitement of gambling. And it runs Android. Yeah, I wasn't honestly the reason this one caught my eye wasn't because of the Android tablet. It was because they announced the laptop was pre-orderable. Then when I went and looked at the site and I saw they actually had a cluster computer, which to be honest, could have the right operating system on it, could probably be a beast. And then they had the tablet and the single board computer, which, you know, Intel stopped selling NUX. They stopped selling NUX because everybody else is filling in the gap of the mini PC form factor. They don't need to make NUX anymore. Just like back in the day with the Nexus devices, the reason Google made the Nexus devices was to show people the basic things that can be done. Now, the Pixel devices, they're pushing the edge much more. With these products, it seems like more and more, honestly, companies like Raspberry Pi become less and less daring, less arrogant, less cocky, less innovating, less pushing, and they're slowly becoming the board that your grandmother will have to run her like recipe index where other people will take the mantle to make cluster desktop form factor or laptop form factor or tablet form factor boards.
I like the look of the console, the Litchi.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
with 16 gigs of RAM. You know, I like RAM.
There's keyboard nipple as well.
Mm-hmm. Just like a Lenovo.
That's right.
Hey, I like the Lenovo piece.
I do agree. I'm a fan of their laptops.
And at the bottom of the Lychee Console 4A, it says the system is Debian Poly OS. It says it's able to run VS Code.
Well, I hope so.
You could do some coding too while you're on there.
Well, as long as you get the bad music from like Project Swordfish at the same time.
It's tiny, actually. Get from the video, they've got a wee
7-inch.
And it with your hand. So this is really a phone with a keyboard.
Well, it's a 7-inch screen, so it's close. It is very close to being phone size, yes. But hey, you know, kids have good eyes.
Is it completely open source hardware?
I could not find that out exactly. I know the processor is RISC-V based. I didn't see anything about the hardware being available for people to recreate on their own. But also, if you take a look at the very top, it's obvious this is a company not inside of any of our countries. So I'm pretty sure they're still like kind of new to the idea of openness. Unless, of course, it's openness to your country, you know, which is different.
What's the Cluster 4A? What is it?
It is basically like a desktop computer where you get tons of computing power with tons of friggin' RAM and basically a form factor that has a handle on top of it, reminiscent of LAN gaming PCs from the late 90s or a Nintendo GameCube. Mm-hmm. Yes. Just for the listener, he said slots, not sluts.
Give my accent.
Those are probably some sort of compute module.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not RAM. They're actual, I don't even know how it works, but they're small computers on their own, basically, and you can put them all together in that board. Yeah. Raspberry Pi makes some, too, that you can compute modules that fit into your, your RAM. Are they not RAM slot? What slot do they even go into?
It is similar to it is similar to a DIMM slot. Yes, it is. But they're compute modules, which is basically a system on a chip. So it has everything baked into one board: a hard drive, RAM, GPU, and CPU, all on that one board. And what happens is the baseboard has its own, sometimes exact mimicked system on it. So basically, every board you add into that slot is basically another part of the cluster it can use to get things done. So by the end of this, if you get one board that has 16 gigs of RAM, you easily have like 80 to 100, whatever, gigs of RAM spread across what would be at least 32 processors. So as long as the processor, as long as the software is optimized correctly, that thing could do a lot of things really fast. I mean, it still won't play Crysis or Half-Life 3, but, you know, you can do some heavy computing.
Josh could do some Bitcoin mining on it.
That's right.
As long as it's programmed right, yep. Or it could just catch fire.
It's not a Samsung.
Oh.
And just so that you guys know, I did send out a note on Noster that we were talking some nerdy talk. And what I wrote is, we are hot into some nerdy topics. Come join us, only on YouTube at the moment, with a link. And we were boosted, which is a retweet by the sexy search bot, just so you know. And it's it says your daily dose of everything sexual. So I guess we're going to have to maybe make a hard right turn here and start talking about something a little more, or maybe they heard Ivor say slots.
Yeah, and I will say I did try to look into how to appropriately live stream through Noster, and I couldn't really grasp it. I will say I do have at least one extra domain and at least one extra computer down here to where, if I can figure it out, we'll be streaming on that as well.
Did you look at zap.stream?
Didn't see that one.
Yeah, that seems to be the one with the most functionality at the moment.
Okay, I will. Do you want to get into some Android applications?
Yeah, why not? That's what we're here for.
Go for it, Ivor.
I got one.
Don't worry. I get paid by the hour.
That's through an app called Forkies. This is only on other equivalent app on the Play Fork, hence the name Forkies. So Shorties is a popular puzzle app on the Google Play Store. allows you to do crossword puzzles. So you can download crossword puzzles and do them to your heart's content. So if you want a free and open source version of the short, open it up, it'll give you an option to have a look at online. So it'll take you to its own website, which has a curated list of crossword puzzles and websites and places you can get. Second one is you can import puzzles or import internal sites or puzzles that you have created your own. Download your own puzzles from your own sources. Next app is called Forky's Scanner. Forky's is the popular crossword app. Forky's Scanner is the OCR app that goes with it. So what you can use Forky's Scanner for is to scan paper or in your daily paper or in a magazine out and about and you see a crossword, then you can use the OCR Forky's Scanner. And first off, you start by scanning elf, and then you scan the clues, both formats, so it recognizes the elf, and it turns that into a usable crossword puzzle for your phone. So around a piece of paper and a pen, you can. Now, you will spend a bit of time. I spent about as much time correcting paper, but apart from that, if you want to spend a bit and sort of shrink it down. Yeah, you might have a bit of a few problems. Found out the smaller the puzzle, the better, and the more light you're using, the better. There's certain things you can do. So the other options in Forky Scanner is also you can sign up for online sources and download them, and it will set to automatically download daily crossword puzzles. So really, if you're into crossword puzzles, these two are all for you.
So what you're saying is it would actually be faster to get a piece of paper and a pen and like recreate the crossword puzzle by hand.
Not quite.
Than it would be to actually use this.
Well, we can't all be you, Josh.
Well, they're much easier to solve when you make them yourself.
They're all the same word.
Noster, Bitcoin, Noster.
Yeah, but a nice little open source app that you can pass the time if you have a bit of it.
Right, or if you want to do popular crossword puzzles where other people will sit down and do that, then you can download them.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're doing like the New York Times crossword puzzle, for instance, I'm sure by the time you get up in the morning and press it, it's going to be there because somebody else already went through the trials and tribulations of correcting OCR. And I will say, I'm amazed at how far OCR has came in like the last 20 years. At the same time, I'm amazed at how much when I do OCR, I got to go back and fix stuff. Ugh. It's like, you know, if it's super clear text, maybe, but it seems to me like there's a lot of times I got to go back and fix things that I thought would have been obvious.
Well, I have a crossword here that I've clipped out of our newspaper. I can show you how it works if you like. I can scan it.
Sure.
This is boring.
Sorry. You're boring.
Got a little recursion there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Guys, we've had to switch to a new browser.
Sure it's not because you're using Windows?
It could be everything to do with that.
I'm leaving.
Upgrade to the newest Windows 11, I'm sure it would fix that. Yep. Not until you do that.
Oh, Forky's Scanner. That's off with this opening page. Sorry, I'll just find out.
So maybe if you had like a perfect camera with perfect resolution, it might be better.
This is truly riveting.
That's what she said last night. Herb, 1, 9,
basil. Basil.
That ain't 9 letters. What's the 9 for? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cool. That's actually quite interesting. Do you have to have a flip camera on your phone to have it work, or does it work with just any?
Well, a flip camera is preferable.
Yeah, exactly. With the crack still in it, but you know what though? I dropped it down the stairs on my way down here tonight, and the floor is concrete basically down here with a hard rubber type thing. Blah blah blah, and it went down the stairs and then it landed right on the corner. Bang! And I picked it up. No worse for wear. So it doesn't matter what camera you have, as long as your case is good. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, the case is a big deal. Yeah.
And you haven't put a case on that one you've got?
Put another case for it. There are heaps of cases, but...
What?
Gotcha. So, do you have any apps there, Josh?
Yes. I don't think that we've brought this one, but it's about to be brought in. It's a little thing called ChatGPT, but they
I never heard of it. What is
it? Exactly. So it's but it's an actual ChatGPT app. All the apps before were people trying to utilize, I guess, the
I would say trying to capitalize.
Well, yeah, capitalize, but then using ChatGPT for the back end. I don't know how exactly how ChatGPT works. If anyway, if it's got hooks or what you can do on the back end using it. But this is from OpenAI, has in-app purchases. I'm sure they just want you to upgrade your account. And data is encrypted. There's no data shared with third parties. 4.6 average reviews out of 187,000. And it that is what it is. It's just ChatGPT, which for anybody that doesn't know, I would recommend trying it because it's quite interesting. But it's a artificial intelligence in a conversational setting. So what I like to do is draw a warm bath, light up some candles, you know, pour a glass of rosé, and then be the guy in the tub and just, you know, have a friendly, if not sensual, conversation with ChatGPT. This is a app that they created, and it's basically the same experience as the web app. So it's just has a, or what I've used it for anyway, it just has a text input, and you put it in, and it gives you the answers.
Yeah, permissions. Seems pretty standard. I've heard people complain about ChatGPT saying.
Yeah, I would think that the with the privacy thing, it's probably just because when you sign up for chat, I think you have to give it your phone number when you sign up for ChatGPT. And then, I mean, the privacy is you're asking it questions, and it's I'm sure that it's profiling you from the questions you're asking. And you know, I was just joking about the tub part.
Oh, you were.
That makes one of us. The one thing I will say about ChatGPT or any of these things is garbage in, garbage out. Still utterly ridiculously applies. The example I will give is there's literally a new job title only in the last year or two called a prompt engineer. The prompt engineer just literally sits there at a computer. The company straights, aka the people with the suits that still have a hard time attaching images to email or docs to email, dictate the question they want to ask. And the prompt engineer knows the correct way in order to ask a large language model or ChatGPT or one of the other ones how to answer this question correctly. So in gist, what I'm saying is you have to know how to properly ask the question in order to know what to expect out of it. The example I'll give is, the more details you give, the better the result will be. And here's my example, literally from earlier yesterday. My youngest son is 15 years old in public school, taking a health class. And in the health class, the teacher said, "Dan, you have to find at least one song that has a drug reference in it and then share the line from the song that has the exact drug reference line in it." To which I'm sitting there hearing this teacher ask this for my son, and I'm almost giggling hysterical because this is exactly how DARE failed in the United States, but I digress. Okay. So everything my son looks up in Google results in a, "This website has been blocked by Harford County Public Schools." Of course it is, dumbass. So then I sit down with my son. I say, "Okay, son, we're going to open your teacher's eyes up. Okay. To be favored, just go to Google and type 'Take Two and Pass lyrics.'" And then literally six lines into the song is 'Take Two and Pass so the blunt will last.' Send that to your teacher. Let's see what she says." And her response was, "That's an excellent example, Dan." So, yeah, kind of, public school, yay. But you have to know what to ask, because quite literally, when then after the fact, I tried to say to my son, "And look, it's really easy for this." And then when I tried to ask AI things, "What are songs that have drug references in them?" And they kept giving me all these outlandish, ridiculous drug examples. So then I finally said, "Tell me songs that say the word, and then I would use the exact drug word. Oh, and then I was getting some good results. You know, whether it was Beatles or Cypress Hill or whatever, I was getting some really good examples after that. And I tried to explain to my son, well, look, all these AI tools are only, they're only going to give you results as specific as you define in your question. So you got to be very descriptive, use long words, use many words, and get as precise as you possibly can. And I found the same thing with ChatGPT. If you just sit down and ask it dumb questions, you're going to get back dumb answers. But if you ask it, you know, season one, episode six, 20 minutes into Star Trek, what was this thing we saw on the screen? And it'll be actually pretty accurate.
I've never used it.
Well, that's the thing. You have to have, I think, inquisitive questions to ask it, or else it's literally just sitting there like you're like Chris Farley doing an interview with like Pat Sajak. You know, who the hell's going to want to listen?
Well, it's good for learning. Is what it's good for as well. I mean, you could use it to teach yourself probably just about anything. And if you don't understand something, you can say, okay, now explain it like a third grader, or, you know, just literal things like that, that you can customize how you're getting the information until you can fully understand it. And what I would like to do, I want to try to teach my own AI. And because then you can specialize what it's doing, right? You can just have it go and say permaculture, for instance, and have it gather all the information about that and learn about permaculture. And you could ask it, you know, who is Pat Sajak? And it would say, I have no idea who that is. And it would only be trained on the specific topic that you want to have an AI bot or an AI, at your disposal.
I'm surprised they have it available in the Play Store, actually. That wouldn't...
Well, I'm no Google. Bard's already released. I will say that's one of the differences between other Play Stores, other corporation-based Play Stores and Google. Google seems to not care anything that gets traction. I mean, I don't want to say they're desperate, but anything that gets traction, they'll put in the store and promote. But I will say ChatGPT has lost now in the last 6 months, like, I want to say almost 40% of the traffic that it had during the first month. So they're continuously trying to do things to bring people back. I will say with GPT-5, I believe is where they're going to do a lot more image-based things, to where you can literally take a screenshot of something or whatever and upload it and say, what's the issue? The example I'll use is... I want to say his name is Dave. The YouTube channel is Dave's Garage. Dave is a guy suffering from autism, which is obvious when you sit there and listen to him. But he was one of the original Windows developers. He's the guy who like developed the Windows Task Manager, for instance. And he uploaded some assembly code to ChatGPT, and he couldn't figure out why it wasn't working right. And then when he upgraded to GPT-5, he was able to upload a screenshot of the result of his code. And once he did that, it then better understood why his code wasn't working and was able. And he said, it wasn't it telling me what to do. It was me telling it what I saw, me responding to what it said, me then uploading the result of that. So it was really, he said, teamwork. And between both of us, we were able to fix assembly code to do what we, in air quote, wanted it to do. So I do think the addition of images into these ChatGPT type things are going to make it a lot more easy for normal people to put something in and get something out, is what I'll say.
Yeah, the image AIs are pretty fun to use as well. Like, I still, because I'm just dumb, and this is how people get my money, is you want to use a product for a month, and then it's been 6 months and I'm still paying monthly. So every once in a while I'll say, oh, I have still a subscription to Midjourney. Maybe I'll try to find some fun images. But I am definitely not a prompt master.
Well, I mean, it's just like anything else. The people who are getting paid, you know, nearly $200,000 for that job right now are people who devoted the time in the beginning to better, you know, have the experience with it, to know what to do and what to expect.
Or they're the coders that built it, and they know the nuances that they coded into it. You know, like maybe you need an ampersand somewhere, and then that's what unlocks the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely possible. Okay, the link I'm going to bring is technically not an app, but what I am going to say is this is the kind of thing that directly contradicts what we heard earlier. Okay, we have Chrome OS, where you can run Android apps. We have Lenovo trying to push Android-based computers to rival Windows and to, you know, rival anything else out of the box. Well, at the same token, Google is launching play.google.com/Google Play Games. This is where you'll be able to load Android games on your desktop Windows computer and have it all right there. So they're literally trying to cover all bases. It's like Google can just form another arm and reach out and put their finger in the hole of the dam, trying to fill every possible hole of need that people will have to use any type of Google solution. If I was a Windows person, honestly, this might be cool. I'm not going to lie. But in my experience, half the time the game is cheaper on Steam, or half the time the game is cheaper on Android. There's no perfect platform for these type of things, but I am a fan of them offering different solutions. I'm not going to lie. I think that's the right way to do things moving forward.
I found a link and I pressed the link. I did mean to, what's the difference between this and, so like, does it only work on Windows, or like, because Windows has its own Android app?
Certain
places.
They make it sound like it's only available on PC. And when I hear PC in 2023, I think Windows computer. It wouldn't shock me if you also have to have Chrome installed. And it's basically using the exact same functionality that Chrome OS is using to run Android apps on it.
Would it be possible to create a browser-based something like this for Google Games, do you reckon? Where it would be cross-platform because it's browser-based?
Well, I mean, technically you can run Chrome on nearly anything. So I can't tell if they're just lazy and saying on the PC or what. I did sign up for it. I didn't get anything back because I was going to try to run it on Linux just to see if it worked. I didn't have like insanely high hopes is what I'll say. But I thought it was worth the gamble. And I will say, nearly a third of the games that I've witnessed in the last 6 months, if I try to play them on a phone, I just literally can't read them. They're too small. They literally seem like there's more games every month being built to be on a bigger screen. Yeah, their minimum requirements, they say it's Windows 10 version 2004, solid state drive with 10 gigabytes of available storage space. 10 gigabytes of available storage space. Okay, I hear 10 gigabytes of available storage space. That tells me that they are literally installing a Android emulator or a Linux operating system on the back end. Graphics, Intel UHD graphics, which I will say, the Intel graphics cards have gotten so much better in the last year. It's kind of ridiculous. Processor of 4 CPU physical cores. Some games require an Intel processor. 8 gigs of RAM. Windows admin account, so you can't run it on your work computer. And hardware virtualization must be turned on, which is basically isn't enabled on the chip. So if you get a super low-end Intel, what's it called? Before Core i3, i5, and i7, i9, the super low-end.
Pentium 3.
Yeah, if you get the super low-end Celeron chip, you won't be able to do this.
In-series chips.
Yeah, that series chip. Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, it's not messing around, this thing.
No, with 10 gigs of storage space, 10 gigs of RAM, or 8 gigs of RAM. That's quite a beefy load there.
Jess, this is also why the sexy bot is a reboot.
Yeah.
They're filling all the holes here.
Got to be good at something.
You got another game, Ivor, or an app in general?
So who here has tried to learn a different language?
See,
I suck at English.
Okay. So this is a Lingo clip. And I don't know how it came across in my feed, but I found it. So what it does is it teaches you vocabulary. If you're trying to learn a different language, it teaches you based on the music of that country that you. So if you're trying to learn French, it'll play you French songs. Lines, it'll stop and blank space. Here it is. Have a blank space where, and it will present you with a list of options down below where you have to guess the word that was said in the lyrics. And if you get it right, you carry on. If you don't, you get to try again. I thought it was really, my wife speaks Swedish, so I thought I'd give it a go. thoroughly enjoying myself for a good at least half an hour, listening to Swedish music. It's the words that they were saying and how they were pronounced. Here it is. You see on the video itself. I imagine this would be very useful for a lot of non-English speaking people who want to learn to speak English. The whole thing is a bit gamified as well, so you get if you want to more than three songs in a row, you have to pay like a subscription, which I don't like. But that's I thought a really unique approach to, because a lot of people use Duolingo, and that's affinity for lingo for music to automatically just go into your head in a different way than they would have. Innovative approach to learning a different language, just help you build that vocabulary and get a bit of taste of the foreign culture as well.
Yeah, I'll say very cool. I like the idea of learning languages in different manners, is what I'm going to say, is the way I'll put it. My language, I mean, sucks. I'm sure this would help me learn another language, but I feel like, you know, I don't know how good I would be at it or what good it would be for me in the future. Because I still have a hard time just trying to learn basic American Sign Language thing. Even though I have relatives that are deaf, and that's the only way to communicate with them.
And they've got at least one relative that's dumb, so works out.
Something different to try if you're trying to learn to speak.
Very cool. I'm not going to lie. Very cool.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. This is another app, which is an app for a product which I purchased, which was a game cam, a trail cam that has little solar panels on it. But this app is called Wildlife Cam, and it's 10,000 plus downloads. No data is collected, no data is shared. And I was never able to find any ratings. There's no ratings for it. But it's all it is you can control the cam through Wi-Fi, which sounds much cooler than it is because you have to be within Wi-Fi range of the camera. So I haven't found any way to connect the camera to my Wi-Fi because I have an extender that blasts halfway to space. And I'm sure my neighbors love having my Wi-Fi just blaring through their house. But I've got the Wi-Fi out to the area where I put this thing. But you have to be, it seemed to me, about 20 feet, 25 feet away from it is as far as you can go to connect. But then you can download the pictures from it or just look at the pictures that are on it through this app and control all of the settings, which I don't know if you guys have ever set a game cam, but it's kind of a pain in the butt. You have to go over and open it up. And if it's wet, then, you know, you risk getting water inside of the camera, blah, blah, blah. So this was... Besides the fact that you have to be so close to it to connect, I mean, it'd be great if I could connect from, say, my tub while I'm chatting with ChatGPT, but you do have to be pretty close to the proximity of it. But there, I'm pretty sure there's a buck that is going through our property. It was set last night. There's one doe that went through. So, again, Wildlife Cam. I can't remember the name of the... It was some Chinese game cam. But it's been pretty good so far.
Specific to a particular camera. You don't have to buy a particular camera for it to work. It's just
this. No. This is the software for the type of camera that I bought.
Yeah. So like, it wouldn't shock me if out of 100 types of cameras you buy, 20 of them when you buy will tell you go get this app.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, with 10,000 plus downloads, I guarantee you they support more than one manufacturer.
Yeah, probably. Or it's the same manufacturer under different names is selling all these cameras is probably what they...
Well, yeah. In my experience, what happens in China is they set up a plant with mills and injection and everything, and they build one thing. And they just spew out as many as they possibly can, and they sell them to whoever will buy them. And then everybody who buys them puts their own branding on them, whether it's RCA or somebody else. And sometimes one becomes more popular than the other, and, you know, they gain traction. But yeah, this is like the open kind of app where the guy just put it out and people decided, oh, we can use this app, so we don't have to make our own.
Yeah, good on them, though. I mean, why reinvent the wheel and make an inferior product like this? I've had so many of these types of apps that you need to use to control whatever device, and they're just flaky. you know, they just crash every once in a while, or they're slow, or they just are just useless. Whereas this is a legitimate app. Like it's good. It's snappy. Well, the connection takes quite a long time. Like you just sit there and it's, I don't know what it's doing, but once it's connected, everything is cool. And then I downloaded the pictures from the camera directly to my phone as well.
Right.
Guys, I do apologize. We've had daylight savings here, so
not your fault. Not your fault, Ivor. It's fine.
I have to go.
I blame Bill Gates.
I have to go and collect my kids. I will begin in an hour. So if you're still going, I'll see if you're still going. I'll jump back in.
Well, and upload the file whenever you can.
Yep. But thanks a lot. Good to see you again. And sorry I couldn't.
Hey, man. Okay.
Later, man.
Okay.
Do you feel like we just dropped dead weight?
I would not say that. Okay, what I'm going to upload or link now is not to a game, but I have to stop and take a deep breath because whenever I say this guy's name, I get a little misty. Eric Ardini was one of the guys that really introduced me to more than a couple noodle cake kind of games. The way I'm going to put it is they make some very addictive games. A lot of them you can sometimes get for like 50 cents or 20 cents kind of thing. But right now, I believe it's still going on. There is a noodle cake game sale. If there's any, like two games I'm going to mention that you need to check out is Getting Over It is a fantastic game that will cause such aggravation, but it's actually fun. The other one is Death Road to Canada, just because it's called Death Road to Canada. It's basically like Oregon Trail, except instead of going over the prairies, getting dying from, oh man, what's it called?
Dysentery.
From dysentery cruise. Instead, you're Death Road to Canada trying to avoid the zombies, making it up to a cold enough climate where zombies don't exist. But almost anything I've ever experienced from Noodle Cake is worth the time playing, is the way I'll put it. So if you're at all interested in lower price games when they're on sale, right now Noodle Cake looks like they're having a real, oh man, the deal expired.
It does. I'm looking at Death Road to Canada,
$12.99. Oh man, that sucks, eh?
Hey, take it easy, eh? That's kind of crappy. Does.
I know. So then what I'm going to say is, if you want to be on top of these kinds of deals, I'm sorry, you have one of three choices. A, go through Reddit at your own time and leisure, filter through all the ads and the crap, and find these deals. Two, download Voxer, send the request, we'll have you on the AAA group on Voxer. Or three, I did put it, I believe, also in our Discord AAA submissions channel, to where you know when these things happen. I seriously thought this was going on for like another 3 days, 4 days. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
So now you're just rubbing in people's faces.
Well, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And now I know just how special of a deal this was because it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, the interesting part of that deal was that it said that, get it back up here. Death Road to Canada was $9.99 down to $3.99. Oh, but then yes, in Canada, $12.99.
So it'd still be like $6. Yeah.
You want to bring an app instead, Dora? You seem a bit distraught over this.
I will, but the app I'm going to bring harkens back to old man vibes, is the way I'm going to put it. There was a game on DOS, maybe even Flash, years ago, basically called Moto MX, I want to say it was called, where you had this platformer, side-scrolling type thing, where it was you were a motorcycle, you had gas, brake, and you had tilt forward and back, and you could do flips in the air and things like that. And it was basically like defying physics kind of things that was going on. Well, this is like if you take that defying amp physics and you ramp it up to like not 10, but to like 40, where there's like chainsaws going on and battering rams going on. And your job is to take this bike and do crazy physics things to make it to the end of the track. Gravity is there, but it's not as much, but you have a whole bunch of different environmental things to change how the game is played. If you watch the trailer, you'll get it.
Do you have a link to it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I already put it in the chat. Let me go like that.
Or,
and click
or
that
even a name to it?
Sorry. I do. It's called Moto X3M Bike Race Game from Ace Viral is the name of the thing. company developer version 1.20.6 updated June 12, 2023 requires 5.0 Android and up. 100 million plus downloads is what it says. In-app purchases, I don't do any in-app purchases. I just skip that. Content rating, everyone. Permissions, it needs a hell of a lot for some unknown reason I do not know, including run at startup, which no app should really need. Then it also has interactive elements of in-game purchases, which I avoid, offered by Ace Viral, released on August 18th, 2015. So I guess that explains the 100 million plus downloads. But yeah, just silly fake physics fun is the way I'll put it.
It looks fun, and I would normally install it, but I've got way too much stuff going on right now. This will just kill me. It looks fun though.
It is a time killer. It's the kind of thing where, you know, hypothetically someone you know is in the hospital and you got to sit there no matter what. This would be a good thing to play while they're laying in bed. But that's my sad, nostalgic look at a game. And when I saw the game, it just reminded me of the old DOS game. I want to say it was literally called Moto MX, where it was the same kind of thing, just not as crazy. Less explosions.
Okay. This is another one that is an app that is for a product. Might have went a little bit crazy on Amazon Prime. I've been using the Open Mesh, which is now Dado, I think, mesh routers, access points, and it was just getting sketchy and it would drop a lot. And I realized that it was from maybe 2014 or 15. And apparently there's been Wi-Fi improvements since then, as far as Wi-Fi speeds go. And so I decided to get a couple different mesh routers. And so I got a couple, they're called Tenda. And yeah, it's a Tenda Wi-Fi app by Shenzhen Tenda Technology Company Limited. And it has an average review of 2.5 stars out of 20,000 reviews, 1 million plus downloads. And it is just a way to organize or control your network via these routers. And it works. It does what it's supposed to do. I mean, it's fairly boring. I brought it up mainly to talk about these. I mean, have you ever heard of Tenda?
I know I've heard the name, but I can't tell you where I've heard it. I do believe in now I am literally up on the teat of cheap Wi-Fi routers from overseas, where it's like Wi-Fi 7 with mesh networking for like $30. Where here in the U.S., if you want that kind of technology, you're paying like $180.
Yeah, this seemed to have good reviews, and I did some more research on them. And I just don't know. I don't have the time. I should run like a Wireshark and see what, if it's sending information back to the mothership or what. But probably no more than my Huawei phone. So,
well, I mean, that's the thing. I expect everything to send something back to the mothership. The question isn't are they. The question is what are they sending? Which is weird. If you just plug this up on its own with nothing else connected to it, and then just Wireshark'd it, you would have at least some idea of what, you know, it's thinking, what's going on.
But
I mean, with the Wi-Fi technology that's jumped in the last like 3 or 4 years, you can easily get like gigabit speeds over your home network, which just like 4 years ago was impossible with Wi-Fi 7. Ooh.
On my phone before, I would get maybe 30 megabytes.
Right.
And now, I mean, I only have 300 down for my plan anyway, but my phone was now doing that 300. So now it's capped by the fact that my phone is old, and I think I probably should just do a factory reset on it and start over, but I always do something to mess that up. Like what is it called? The two-factor authentication where it's the timer.
Right.
You know, what is that called? I use a LastPass one.
Yeah.
And there's a Google Authenticator, but it's a one-time, it's a...
OTA.
OTA?
One-time authentication, I want to say. No?
No, I think
it's close to that.
Yeah, I think that's something else, though. But it's a, you get a six-digit code, and somehow they're synced, the app and whatever you're trying to authenticate. Oh, blah. But yeah, if you blow that up, it would probably be a real pain in the butt to try to get that sorted out. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, with Wi-Fi 7 now, it's like I'm almost the perfect time to upgrade your Wi-Fi network is tomorrow. The worst time to upgrade your Wi-Fi network was yesterday. You know what I mean? Because one, when you do, you literally have to upgrade everything. Or you have to get like new wireless dongles for all of your laptops or all of your desktops or all of your whatevers. And then with your phones and your tablets, you need to get new devices to really take advantage of that speed. So to me, it's like I'm always okay with my router being a year or two behind because half of my devices are older than that to where it won't be able to take advantage of it anyway. I do have the Linksys VLOP mesh, which is now at least 3 or 4 years old. And on my new phone, I'm literally getting like 400 megs transmission speed between it and the node. To which if I did have other devices on my network with that same speed, I'm sure I would see similar speeds with it. But like, I'm not because I haven't had the time to upgrade everything else. Mesh, I do think, is the absolute way to go with any kind of home networking that's bigger than like a studio apartment in New York City. You know what I mean? You have to have mesh.
Yeah, and I wish that Ivor was here to strike back at you just so I could sit back and watch. But he, for some reason, hates mesh, and I guess that means I don't like him.
Well, you know, some people... Have you ever seen, really quick, on his Plex server, he has this Netflix series called Agent Elvis?
No.
Oh, I beg you to watch the first episode. It's an animated series. Lots of cussing, lots of gunfire, lots of Elvis. And something tells me Ivor likes to watch that series with less clothes on than more clothes on. I'm just saying.
No,
and I'm pretty
I don't...
sure if he was here, he would agree with me. Just saying.
I don't do much with Plex. I still have your login, but I feel weird using it to watch anything. I don't know how that works.
It's fine.
Yeah? You're not just saying that? Would you...
No, because there's nothing to hide there. You'll see everything I can see. You can witness the other people's servers around the globe and enjoy stuff like The Equalizer 3 with Denzel Washington. We watched that tonight. Man, it was violent.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was just looking. We have up here, it's called Shaw Internet, or it was called Shaw. And then they... got bought or merged with Rogers. Now I'm apparently a Rogers customer, which
Rogers is horrible.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I could for $15 more a month, I could upgrade to a gigabit of internet, but I don't believe them that they could get that here. To tell you the truth,
I understand.
Okay, very that was cool. My lame app. What do you got?
What are you talking about? I did the last app.
I just did that Tenda.
Oh, you're right. You did. Okay, I'm going to give a weird, like, first-person shooter then app that I don't even know how I stumbled across this one. It's called Slaughter. And what happens in it is, yeah, shoot a lot of stuff. But the thing that caught my attention with this one, besides it being mature 17+, with 100,000+ downloads, was, I want to say this was also multiplayer. Your mercenary who was imprisoned, Slaughter, single player campaign, survivor mode, customized. Nope, I don't think it did have multiplayer mode. I will say this almost reminded me of like, obviously like an late 90s, early 2000 first person shooter. The graphics aren't stellar, but they're definitely better than Doom.
It kind of looks like Resident Evil almost.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna lie. I downloaded it, I installed it, I played it for like 20 minutes, I had fun. I then had to uninstall it because I thought I'm going to lose too much time in playing such a thing, even though if it has a single-player campaign, you know, you just get to the end and you're done. But yeah, the controls all worked fine with on-screen controls. It was easy to see everything, even on a phone interface. Nothing like, you know, spectacularly blowing my mind, but yeah, if you like the boom-boom, clank-clank, this definitely fills that need.
Yeah, Chuck in the chat said aliens and serial killers.
Hard to go wrong.
Hard to go wrong. That's another one that normally I would hit install, but
yeah,
I'm showing restraint. I'm growing up, Dor. Much more mature than I was last month.
Well, you know, it had to happen sooner or later. Just don't tell your wife.
this one, guess what? It's another proprietary.
It won't install?
App. No, it's an app of another product that I just bought, which are T800 walkie-talkies talk about by Motorola. And I don't know how much experience you have with two-way radios. Like, we'd use them when going hunting or just when we're hiking or going mushroom hunting or anything like that. And the ones we have are pretty old and the batteries are crap and they're just not really good. And so I decided to invest in some quality walkie-talkies. And so these ones, while you have connection between the two, when you have this app, you can set up a chat or you can send messages. You can have offline maps. You can see where the other person is at.
Huh.
And then it says you can set geofences and alerts. And so you can know where, you can share your map locations with hunting friends or hiking friends or whatever. And all offline, right? You can go into airplane mode right. And still use this.
Right. I'm not going to lie. This is an actual, to me, ingenious way to take the normal two-way walkie-talkie and extend it via Bluetooth to your phone, which enables all kinds of, also say, possibilities. So you can literally, on your Bluetooth connection to it in your app, do something, and then the party on the other side will receive this, I'll just say, out of the hearing frequency of the walkie-talkie, then Bluetooth it to their phone, and then they can see the same thing that you're sending them. That's genius.
It is. This was one of the main reasons why I chose these radios. I've installed it. I haven't used it that much, but now, so that, yeah, I'm Bluetooth connected to this walkie-talkie, and now I just need to get someone else to download the app, and probably my wife, and then we can give it a go, take it through the ringer, if you will.
Yeah, and I'm shocked it says at least like a 20-mile range with walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Nah, but that's also a bunch of hogwash. I mean, these ones okay. will definitely go further than our other ones. But yeah, if you go from the top of a mountain line of sight to the top of another mountain.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. If you're both on the top of a mountain and it happens to be 20 miles away, it could work.
You've been in this neck of the woods, Dor. You're not seeing anything 20 feet away, let alone 20 miles away.
Yeah, not unless you chop down like 300 trees.
Well, they're pretty good at that too. It's crazy once you start, because I've been hunting a couple times this year so far, and just see like all of the trees and just all the clear cuts that are going on. It's pretty amazing.
And it ain't going to slow down.
But now you can see the forest through the trees because there are no trees to see the forest.
How convenient. That is a very cool app. I'm not going to lie. Didn't think that kind of thing was possible, but it makes sense. In the same way, late in the era of modems, they were able to make it to where you could talk on the phone at the same time as transmitting data. They basically just sent it outside of the hearing range.
Well, they're doing that with video as well and embedding information into video. I was into that for a little while. Not into it, but definitely interested in it and met a couple people that when I was doing more with Internet in a Box and out in California and met up with some guys that were doing that into some dictatorship or some fascist regime. Might have been the United States. But it was, and now they were going into Iraq or somewhere. And so they had this, basically a TV show, but they were embedding data into the TV, and then you have a transcoder basically that it runs through and it can pick out the bits of data and restructure it.
Very cool. I'm kind of out of apps is what I'm going to say. Nothing where I think worth time. So do you want to do a app rundown or, rundown?
Sure. We started by Dor schooling us on Android and the RISC-V protocol, and then talking about Android PCs and Core i9s. Then we discussed the SciSpeed Lychee series RISC-V Linux practical platform and the Marina 2 with the privacy switch. And then we went to Forky's crossword puzzles application, download and play. To go with that, Forky's scanner, crossword scanning companion app for Forky's crossword app. And then ChatGPT by OpenAI, Google Play Games beta by Google. Learn languages with music from Lingo Clip. Wildlife Cam by JGHT. Moto X3M bike race game by Ace Viral. Tenda Wi-Fi by Shenzhen Tenda Technology Company Limited. Slaughter by Ray Spark. And Motorola Talk About by Motorola Solutions.
Very cool, very cool. I will say I want to thank everyone for their ongoing and continued support. The only thing I can promise is change, because that's the only thing that will happen guaranteed in the future is change. Do you have any parting words there, Josh?
Oh, Dor, you caught me off guard. I thought we were going to talk for another hour, but I guess not. No, be nice to each other. Don't listen to what the news tells you or politicians tell you. The world is not as bad as, well...
Oh.
It's bad in different ways than they want you to believe. Your neighbor, no matter who they are, is not your enemy.
Not at all.
The other people.
People are not the enemy. Institutions are.
There's some pretty bad people as well.
Well, you got to remember, in their brain, they're not bad guys. They're heroes.
Yeah. We could talk about politics for a while, Dor.
Oh, we could, but then I might have to go to the bathroom more often.
Do you have any parting messages, Dor?
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for the support. Thank everyone for the continued support. Love, peace. I love everyone. This year, we're getting into the hard time of the year. Literally, everyone, stop for a second. Ping somebody you haven't heard from, you haven't talked to, you thought about every now and then, and just say, hey. Because to be quite honest, I was honestly laying in bed the other night, not able to sleep, and I remember hanging out with Chuck Green in Columbus, Ohio, 1 year, and I thought to myself, it's been like 2 years or 3 years since I heard from Chuck, man. I hope the family's doing okay. Because I know Chuck is an extreme family man, and that's the kind of connections that can be made when the actual podcast host actually responds to emails and communications from the podcast listener, aka send your favorite podcast an email just saying, hi, I think you're doing a good job or a great job. I wish you would do blank, 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 blank. And then hopefully your podcast host will listen to you as much as I listen to Josh or even Ivor, maybe.
And that reminds me, too, to thank Chuck and Swift and Red. And I don't know if there's anyone else in the live chat.
I'm not sure anybody else was there, but I will say we also had people in the past, like the Mac Geek and other people, jump in and say hi. And it's always a good time in the chat. Again, if you want to catch us live, the easiest way right now, follow us on YouTube. Click that stupid bell or follow us in Discord. In Discord, I tried now to post the actual live current event. I'm doing a good job at that. So I'm doing good at something. So I hope to see everyone again really, really soon.
On Zap.stream.
On Zap.stream.
Are we done?
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is everyday tech for everyday people. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.